Good evening and welcome to the Safilo Group conference call on the first quarter 2016 trading update. This call may contain forward-looking statements relating to future events and operating economic and financial results for Safilo Group. Such forecasts, due to their nature, imply a component of risks and uncertainty due to the therefore vary even significantly to those announced in relation to a multitude of factors. Today's participants are Luisa Delgado, Chief Executive Officer, Gerd Greschler, Chief Financial Officer, and Barbara Ferrante, Director of Investor Relations. I'll now pass the call over to Ms. Barbara Ferrante, Director of Investor Relations. Ms. Ferrante, you may begin.
Thank you, and good evening to everyone, and thank you for attending the call this afternoon. As we have already communicated, we would like to remind you that following the entry into force on March 18th this year of the Italian Legislative Decree number 25 of February 15th, which eliminates, in accordance with the European Union's Transparency Directive, the obligation to publish interim management statements for the first quarter and the third quarter of the year, we have decided to release on a voluntary basis the key economic and financial performance indicators with the objective to maintain a timely dialogue with you and all our key stakeholders on the group business dynamics. Said that, I hand it over to Luisa Delgado to start our trading update on Q1. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. During quarter one, our total net sales declined by 7% versus last year, while our going forward brand portfolio had a positive performance and grew by 1% plus. These results were driven by the expected headwinds of Fuji in this last year of license and more challenging business conditions in namely China, Hong Kong, and Brazil, as well as Japan. Demand for our going forward portfolio was solid, and this allowed us to record positive performances in our core markets in Europe and North America, as well as in the rest of the world. Delivery performance on products sourced from our Italian plants was subdued and prevented us to leverage the full and more sizable sales opportunities from our orders, which grew mid-single digit versus year ago on our going forward portfolio. The performance of our Italian plants is a core topic of attention for us, and we are working on reducing the backlogs over the second quarter, and as our plant interventions progress per plan, this should stop representing a restrainer towards our sales as of this summer. With regards to our own core brands, Smith was off to a strong start in the first quarter. The performance of Polaroid and Carrera was softer. The key brand initiatives and sell-out activities on Polaroid are kicking in as of the second quarter, and on Carrera, we continue our redesign and rebranding efforts that will take their time and are focusing on a few selected countries this year to measure focused progress. As to our economic performance, we improved our gross margin to 61.1% of sales from 60.6% last year, while gross profit declined by 6.3% and adjusted EBITDA dropped to 25.2 million. Our debt dropped versus quarter one last year to 109.7 million. Gert will now give you further details on quarter one trends and performance, and we will take your questions at the end.
Thank you, Luisa, and good evening to everybody. To recap our total reported business performance by geographical area, total sales were €301.6 million in the period, down 7% at current exchange rates and 6.6% at constant exchange rates, with Europe down 1.7%, North America down 5.6%, Asia-Pacific down 28.3%, and the rest of the world down 6% at constant exchange rates. Our core wholesale business recorded sales of €284.9 million compared to €304.6 million last year, down 6.5% at current exchange rates and 6% at constant exchange rates. Solstice, our retail chain in the U.S., reported sales of €16.8 million, dropping 17% at constant exchange rates. The overall decline we posted in the period was driven mainly by the decline of Gucci, as we had a more challenging base of comparison with Q1 last year when the brand performance was still reasonably good. On the other hand, the performance of our going forwards brand portfolio, which excludes from this year and last year all the brands we stopped and will stop servicing, was up 1% at constant exchange rates. So let's add some more color on this in the next slide. The going forward brand portfolio had a positive quarter in our core markets of Europe and in the wholesale business in North America, as well as in the rest of the world, while we continue to have evident restrainers in Asia. In more detail, at constant exchange rates, Europe was up 3.6%, driven in particular by the ongoing positive performance of the business in key countries like France and Italy, with the latter up double digits, but also strong trends in Eastern Europe. North America was up a total of 0.8%, driven by the solid performance of wholesale, increasing by 3.1% in the period, while the sales of the 121 Solstice stores in the U.S. declined by 11.6%. This performance reflected both the closure of 11 stores in the past 12 months and the negative like-for-like trend due to lower store traffic and the promotional business environment. Emerging markets remain an important headwind. In Asia, where sales of the going-forward portfolio declined by 14.6% at constant exchange rate, our business was difficult, in particular in China, Hong Kong, and Japan, while Australia and Southeast Asia were positive. In the rest of the world, which now also includes Latin America, sales of the going-forward brands were up 2.8% at constant exchange rates, in particular reflecting a very tough comp space, as Brazil and in particular Mexico were strong in the first quarter of last year. Middle East and Africa continued to grow significantly. In the next two slides, we would like to briefly comment on how the top-line performance translated into economic performance. In the quarter, gross profit declined by 6.3% to 184.2 million euros compared to 196.6 million euros last year, while gross margin improved to 61.1% of sales from 60.6% last year, also sustained by positive price mix effect and lower obsolescence costs. On the other hand, we kept suffering some headwinds from foreign exchange, about 40 basis points, without which gross margin would have increased by 90 basis points versus a year ago. As indicated in our press release, in the first quarter, we had 5.4 million euros of non-recurring costs, of which 4.2 million related to the group's overhead cost savings initiatives, such as, for example, the planned integration of our Polaroid lens production in Scotland into Safilo's China-based corporate supply network, and 1.2 million euros related to commercial restructuring costs in the EMEA region. Excluding these items, the adjusted EBITDA of the period equaled 25.2 million, dropping 22.6% compared to last year, a performance which reflects the negative operating leverage driven by the declining wholesale business, coupled with a greater dilution, some 50 basis points from the retail business, which in the quarter lost at the EBITDA level around 2 million euros compared to the break-even recorded in the same period of last year. I would then conclude with slide 7, indicating that our net debt at the end of March equaled 109.7 million euros, 14.5% below the position we recorded at the end of March last year, while we were roughly 20 million above the end of December for the usual seasonality of our business. Compared to the first quarter of last year, some higher capex and an outflow from working capital mainly explained by the trade payables decline. This concludes our presentation of this trading update, and we can now open the line and start the Q&A session.
Certainly, thank you. If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask the question. We'll pause just for a moment to allow everyone to signal. Once again, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll now take our first question from Domenico Giulotti. Please go ahead of Equita.
Good afternoon. I have a couple of questions. The first is related to the disruption that you are mentioning in the supply, the logistics. If you can elaborate and if you can explain if this disruption has been solved and what is the reason behind. The second question is on the performance of the going forward brands in particular. So I wouldn't understand if the 1-3% that you are reporting is something that you are happy about. So if you see that there is a sustainable level, or if you are disappointed by the trend, considering the effort in terms of marketing, in terms of action that have been taken in order to support the underlying brand. And maybe just extend it to a more general question. Well, we have seen some weak reporting in general from eyewear retailer, in particular exposed to Europe. We have seen some deceleration in the sun business, retail sun business in the U.S., as confirmed by your solid performance. And so I would like to understand if, in your opinion, there is a soft underlying market that is expected to continue overall.
Thank you very much, Domenico. Good evening. I'd like to give perspective on the Italian plant's performance, which was your first question, and we can then link it into the going forward brand's performance. And finally comment on the general trading, potentially also as evidenced by Solstice. I think the first point on our plans, what is happening? We have, as part of our 2020 manufacturing strategy, brought in-house an increased amount of production, both in terms of brands, but also in terms of steps of the manufacturing flows. We have also brought back to Italy more work within our product and brought from China back into Italy several steps of our production. And then number three, we have seen both more complex models as well as sales or orders that came in well above our forecasts in terms of our highest end brands. As a consequence of these three things, and certainly the first two that are absolutely indispensable for our transformation and our modernization as an industrial player, we have had challenges with our January collection in terms of plant service out of Italy. Naturally and immediately, starting already last year, we have put together total corporate focus in terms of beefing up technical expertise and interventions, in terms of recruiting extra temporary people in the more than hundreds, as well as working overtime, Saturdays, etc., to really leverage our total full capacity. We have a plan, sort out our backlogs by the end of this quarter. So in the course of this quarter, we are already seeing, compared to the beginning of last quarter, we're already seeing product really coming in more fluidly. But we will take the quarter to sort ourselves out in the immediate, as well as then proceed with our investments, the various CapEx investments and modernizations that we need to do in our Italian plants. So as said, we expected as of this summer, delivery performance and Italian plant service should not anymore represent a constraint or a restrainer to deliver the significant orders that we are having on our going forward brands. So when you asked about are we happy or not with our going forward brands, no, we are not, because we have not been able to fulfill all the orders that were in the mid-single digits, so significantly higher, if we had been able to deliver at the full service. On our proprietary brands, we are pleased with Smith. It's reacting extremely well as per plan and progressing on all the fronts of the five-year plan that drives our yearly budget. On Polaroid,
As I said, the big initiatives, hero projects, and very visible advertising will kick in, or is now kicking in this quarter. So we expect to see catch up, quite significant catch up of Polaroid into the summer. And on Carrera, as I said, we are now focused on a few countries. We need to learn from a product design and collection structure, and are learning that, you know, we need different collections and different structures according to the regions of the world, given the very, very different state of the brand of Carrera across the world. So quarter two will be important, certainly for Polaroid, and for Carrera, it is the few countries that we've decided to focus on that we now are driving the progress to measure really the turnaround and the brand and to design repositioning. Maybe on the trading, Gert, if you wish to provide a bit of perspective.
Yeah, so I think globally speaking, where we see weaker trading conditions, weaker market environments, would be China, mainland, Hong Kong as well, and Japan to some degree in Asia, and Brazil in Latin America. So I think these are the places where we found a noticeably weaker trading environment. With regards to Europe, I mean, based on what we see, the environment remains relatively solid, so there's no noticeable deceleration in the markets here. Some places that were actually a challenge for us, like Russia last year, this year are off to a pretty good start. In North America, I would say that with regards to sun retailing, that we are seeing a weaker trading environment, obviously on the one hand in our own chain, Solstice, where we have the sell-off data, but I would also see that in the department store environment overall. With regards to our own sales in Solstice, we do see a traffic decrease, so it is not a decrease, let's say, of the average ticket, but it's the traffic that is decreasing, and especially in the areas of where we are. While on the other hand, you know, we are acting in a very promotional environment, and I think it's key to remain competitive there, to attract the shoppers into the stores. In the department stores, while we sense there's a weaker environment, our business is actually doing very well because the business in the department stores is primarily high-end licensed brand sunglasses. And with the strength we have on Dior, on Celine, on Fendi, on Jimmy Choo, and so forth, we actually recorded a very good growth there. And I think overall, the North America market, we have no, let's say, no significantly different reading yet on the overall market performance, including optical. So I can't make a data-based statement on the total market, but in sunglasses, clearly there is a softness visible.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Just as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star one. If you will now move to our next question from Gianluca Pacini of Banca IMI. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hello, good evening. The first question is on the licensed, so on the licensed brand. I was wondering if all the brands, and of course excluding Gucci, if the performance is more or less above the average for all the brands and the management. And the second question is if you can give us an idea about the CapEx in the quarter and a little flavor on networking capital trend and the improvement or let's say the stabilization and the cash absorption and the cash result for the first quarter. Thank you.
I will start. So in terms of the licensed brand going forward portfolio, we see a very broad-based strong performance. We have excellent growth continuing on Dior. We continue to see significant growth on our Rocket brands. And on the future core brands, the performance is a bit more mixed. I think the brands that were growing last year continue to do so, particularly Hugo Boss, Kate Spade, Max Mara are doing very well. I think the one that is a bit behind is Marc Jacobs, because we are restaging the brand, combining the Marc by Marc and the Marc Jacobs brand into one, but actually it's a bit better than what we were expecting. Obviously, the sales performance across all of those brands has, as Luisa explained, been quite hampered by the delivery performance, by the availability. So naturally, this has restrained further upside, but still the growth remains pretty broad-based. With regards to CapEx, we don't obviously now in the simplified trading update provide this anymore. What I would say is that we are continuing to invest into CapEx also this year, and we want to increase our CapEx investments to accelerate particularly the supply chain reinvention. So in the first quarter CapEx, we spent a couple of million more than what we spent last year. Then with regards to the working capital in the first quarter, I would say that we are quite pleased with the development of the receivables. So we continue to see an improvement in the collection of receivables and the DSO. What we see then, and this is relatively normal seasonally, is an increase in inventory to some degree, because in the first quarter we produce the volumes for the spring-summer collection that then gets sold sort of from the end of the quarter into the second quarter. And we had a bit of a lower accounts payable balance because we are paying some of the bills that were accrued last year. So, you know, all in all, I think we are on track where we needed to be from a cash point of view.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. At this time, we have no further questions via the phone. I'll now hand it back to your speaker. Oh, apologies, we actually have a follow-up question from Domino Giulotti. Please go ahead.
Sorry, I had a question on the cost action that were implemented in Q1. I'd like to understand if you can elaborate a little bit more and like to understand what is the timing needed to see the impact on the cost side from this cost action.
Are you referring to our overheads cost savings program?
Yes, the 5.4 that is part of the, if I'm not wrong, the 20 million that you are mentioning.
So we want to reduce overhead costs, our 300 million euros of cost buckets, by 30 million, 25 to 30 million by the end of 2019. For that, we need 20 million euros of restructuring over that period. And we had said that about 8 to 10 million euros would be planned for 2016. So far, we have basically accrued 4.2 million euros behind this restructuring program. The rest is then for EMEA commercial, which we started last year. So 4.2 out of the 8 to 10 is accrued in quarter one. The biggest chunk of it was for the closure of our production facility in Vail. Then the savings that we expected in 2016, we gave a range of 2 to 3 million euros. I think we're actually going to be a little bit ahead of that range for this year. And the rest of the savings, the big bulk of the savings, obviously will then come from 2017, 2018, because many of the actions that we are taking now, they will then require the time to cycle through in savings in let's say 10, 12 months time.
We are particularly pleased about the progress on these projects of savings, because beyond the immediate saving they will provide for, they're also simplifying our operations considerably, and as a consequence having a lot of knock-on effects of easier and better management and control of a series of processes. You know, think about returns management, think about SKU simplification that will have an enormous knock-on effect onto planning and availability and obsolescence. The same for returns management, etc. So we see great potential in this overheads restructuring program and are doing everything we can to accelerate it
as much as we can.
And the follow-up regarding the backlog, the order backlog, do you see the risk of having some, clearly you had some poor service in Q1 given the delay in serving your clients, but do you see any risk of losing, let's say, part of the performance because of cancellation in the orders?
We have not seen cancellations to date, and we are managing them very, very carefully with a lot of communication and engagement with our customers, prioritizations, etc. It is possible that in the second quarter, the most long lead back orders might, you know, get cancelled or converted into something else. That depends, but we're not counting on the full amount of back orders to be fully caught up in order to make the year. We have conservatively assumed some losses, but we are seeing orders coming in more than ever, particularly on the icons and the highest flying models and brands. So we have to manage that in a quite balanced way.
And last question is on the price mix. You were mentioning the positive impact on the gross margin. Is it basically due to the strong performance of the best-selling licensed brands? Or did you implement also something related to price, so some positive price increases in some areas?
Yeah, we. I would say that yes, there has been a positive impact on the one hand from a brand mix point of view because of the licensed brand performance. On the other hand, obviously, the decline of Gucci, which is also a high, you know, a high value brand, has offset that. So the price mix effect that is positive is coming from what we started last year, and we are continuing this year. A granular approach, let's say, to price competitively up and or down, depending on a brand-by-brand and market-by-market basis. And we look here at all the revenue management levers. We look at price, we look at mix, we look at collection structures for the new collections that we launch, or even sales deductions, so that we can capture additional value while remaining competitive. So in some parts of the world, we've been able to take price mix up. In other parts of the world, we have corrected it downwards. And the net-net was a positive for the quarter.
Okay. Thank you.
There are no further questions at the phone at this time. I'll now hand it back to your speakers for any additional remarks.
I want to thank you for attending our call today and for the very valuable questions as ever. I wish you a good evening. Thank you very much.